We are now back, having watched the first season of Interview of the Vampire. It's called, I really wish it was called The Vampire Chronicles, not Interview of the Vampire, but sure. Actually, I more wish it wasn't called Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire, because much like Bram Stoker's Dracula, it's quite a deviation from Anne Rice's Interview with the Dracula. Interview with the Dracula, sure.
It's because they're building an entire Anne Rice universe. So there's, oh, I should have looked at this before I said it. The witch novels that she
Yep.
writes, or that she wrote, I should say, that's also about to release. And again, that's called Anne Rice's insert name of the novel here.
Right, the Mayfair Witches, is
The,
that
yeah, so it's
it? Yeah.
Anne Rice's Mayfair Witches,
Right, so they've got to tell people who don't know that the shows are
which is silly. Like,
banned.
if they're trying to create, an Anne Rice Marvel Cinematic Universe, don't announce it as, we don't need that Marvel Cinematic Universe for all of the titles in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But again, maybe that's because it's more readily.
Yeah, they're trying to force it a bit, but let me think. So we've watched the show, which it turns out it has some pretty major engagements with the whole vegetarian vampire thing, which we'll get to. But before we get into that, I do want to generally know what you thought about the show, because you said, "Hey, I've watched the first two episodes," and I said, "Oh yeah, I've heard good things," and then I was getting the vibes from you that you stopped watching it. And you weren't really into it, so
I hated it.
right.
Absolutely hated it. So, and it's funny, I say this having come out of this semester teaching an adaptations course for the first time. And in the first lesson, we say to students, notions of the text or the source text, so the text that the adaptation is based on, we don't want to think about ideas of, fidelity. So we're not measuring an adaptation and how much we enjoy it and how good it is based on how truthful it is to the source text, right? Yet, that is my issue with Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire in terms of the AMC adaptation. It changes so much and I hated it. I found it boring. It wasn't necessary. It takes away a lot of the really problematic aspects of the novel that don't really get treated in terms of, Louis's wealth coming from plantations. And then they cast a black man as Louis, and there's engagement, lots of engagement in the television series with Louis's status as a black man, as a wealthy black man, as a, proficient businessman who's also a black man who still has to negotiate
Well, he's a
with,
pimp. Let's, yeah.
but still in terms of, running a very successful business and mingling with other businessmen who are white, the politics of that. Yet the plantation sort of gets, like Louis says, yeah, my dad was a plantation or a planter. He, owned a plantation. But it's just like they don't engage with it. And so I just found Louis's story and how much time they spent with him as a human was just boring. So you're right. I did stop watching and I sent some pretty strongly worded emails to you saying how much I absolutely despise this television series. Then I read ahead. So I love spoilers. I read ahead and saw what happens in the end. And I thought, man, that is wild. So I started again. Having now, like thinking back on it, it's such an interesting take on the novel. I really like the actor who played Lestat needs to win all the awards because he was amazing.
He's an Australian guy.
Really?
Yeah, he was on what's the one that's not Neighbours?
Home and Away.
Yeah, I think he's a Home and Away guy.
Get fucked.
He is, I looked it up.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was like, this French guy, he's amazing.
Who, for the record, looks, now that I think about it, looks more or less the spitting image of the weird harem man from FYI on season two, except he
Fantastic.
was like thin and weedy, and this guy is
Interesting.
like buffish, but that sort of waifish blonde, yeah.
Yeah. So what I really enjoyed about the series is how, and again, when I read and wrote on the novel for my thesis, now book, which is published, buy it, everybody listening.
Yeah, let's make sure we do the intro at the end, because
Yes,
that
we
is the
do.
point. Yep.
That is the point. So when I read the novel and everybody under the sun disagrees with me, I didn't read or see the queer aspect of the novel that everybody else seems to pick up. And I know you read it the novel that way, as in you notice the queer, construction of family and Louis and Lestat's relationship. And also we've had this disagreement, I think, in the episode where we talk about Interview, where Claudia's kind of like the daughter. daughter but lover. And this series, which I liked because it, you know, goes along with my reading, there's no sexual or erotic tension between Louis and Claudia.
Oh, hang on.
They don't sleep together.
She propositions him on multiple occasions and says
she
asks him to run away with her and she'll be his like partner instead of Lestat. That's her whole angle.
But again, it's not a sexual partner. And she says that in the novel, let's run away from this guy because he's a douchebag. Okay. But okay, that is framed in the awful and hideous depiction of domestic violence that this series engages with. So I don't want to say I liked that. I think the television series rendered the very toxic domestic violence relationship between Louis and Lestat that you see in the novel, but to a lesser extent. They nailed it in the TV series. They also made their erotic sexual relationship so much clearer, which I really liked in the series. I didn't like the character of Daniel. He was a wanker. I'm not going to mince my words. He was just like this cowboy journalist
the interview group. Okay.
Yeah.
I liked it. Okay. I need to jump in with a few things now because they're all building up. The sexuality thing I think is made explicit, but also is interesting, and maybe we can revisit this if it's irrelevant at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they are far more sexualized in the series on account of they can have sex, which a massive change from the books, which explicitly say that Amrice's vampires in the novels, or at least the male ones, cannot have penetrative sex because they cannot get erections. That is spelled out in the vampire books. So whereas here they are just fully,
there's a lot of sex,
sexual. Yeah, so that sort of subtext, as you said, is made text in the one thing. Although it's not as much of a departure as you are perhaps interpreting, because
Not a departure at all. It's similar to True Blood. Like, it takes everything that's subtext in the novels and makes it text. And it's
okay, but
explicit.
It also takes the text because, again, perhaps I think the series should be called The Vampire Chronicles instead of Interview with the Vampire. In the sequels of the books, it is explicitly said that Lestat and Louis are lovers and they are a couple. Like, they, in the Queen of the Damned or whatever, they kiss on stage in front of everyone while the Down with the Sickness is playing or whatever. So, like, that is sort of brought in. It's subtext in Interview with the Vampire, but is made explicit in the book sequels. Which I have begun reading through again because I'm fully back on my goth bullshit. I went through, I finally got around to reading, I think it's the fourth one, The Body Thief, which sounds ridiculous because there's like a shape-shifting, a body thief, a guy who can swap bodies, who steals Lestat's bodies. It's my favorite one so far. It's fucking good.
I hate it when vampire fiction series inevitably introduce other sorts of creatures like that.
Oh, well.
It just irks me. It's a genre thing. Add in a fairy. I don't care. Add in shape shifting and stuff. It's just like, oh.
So far, no werewolves and no fairies, but we do have shapeshifters, which actually ties into like the origins of the vampires in the whole series that I explained last time with Queen of the Damned, that the original vampires are possessed by a spirit, an evil spirit. So that's kind of already happening. All the vampires are body thieves. Anyway, that book rules. And you know what else rules? This fucking series. I liked it so much. And I liked it instantly. The end of the first episode or whatever, where Lestat punches through the priest's head, I audibly was like, ah!
It's an interesting, and I think, like, talking through all of this, you can say, I would argue, like, perhaps the influence, or definitely the influence of True Blood in this series in terms of, like, how gruesome it is. Like, punching through the priest's head. I remember watching that and being like, oh, God.
Scene happens in the fifth Underworld movie, and I also cheered at that. That was awesome. Lestat is so fucking cool in this series. Or, like, not cool because he's an awful person, but like you said, the actor played, like, his character is so good. This is the best Lestat.
It's the same as Louis in the books is pathetic. He's spineless. He's boring. It's one of the reasons why I don't like Interview with the Vampire, the novel.
And going through the sequels is explicitly made pathetic and spineless in that the books... He is the main character of the first book, and then which is ostensibly about how Lestat is this evil, seductive guy who, corrupts people. But then Amrice herself goes, but he's really cool though, so I'm going to go and write 10 sequel novels about him. Where Louis
and who could blame her? Who wants to spend
shack somewhere
years of your life writing about Louis? Like, that would be soul destroying and the most boring work. But and that's one of the reasons why I continued as I sucked through the rest of the series after reading the epic spoiler, which we'll get to. Lestat was just so, what's the word?
Cool. I think
Like
the word is cool.
captivating in terms of the actor's
Oh, excuse me.
performance
Sublime.
and just terrifying. The scene, I think it's one of my favorite scenes in the series, which sounds so innocuous when we talk about it. But when Louis just bought the more fancier, it's not, it's, is it the pimp house still? When he buys that second business and it's that really fancy house.
I don't remember. Doesn't he try to move into the main streets or something?
Yeah, so he's in the main street at this stage, and Lestat is like, screw this business, screw you, Louis. And he's talking about how boring the piano player is. And then Lestat makes a scene, gets up, and then plays the piano and plays really well. And the tension of that scene where you're like, is he gonna like flip the piano and kill everyone here? Or is he going to murder the other pianist? But then they start playing the piano together and singing, and like nothing happens in the scene.
But
And
also,
oh,
that scene is bullshit.
no.
No, he could Daniel the calls him out and says, "This is crap, you're lying to me."
Oh
And
yeah,
he,
but
that is the scene where he says, "Okay, yes." So I read that as like a lot of this, and the reason why Lestat is so fucking cool
yeah.
is it's Louis idolizing his lost lover.
It is, but and perhaps we get to the spoiler now. I don't think Armand would allow Louis to depict because then, and I love, so, okay, I'll spell it out. So in the novels, Louis and Claudia try to kill Lestat, escape. They go to Paris after going on a journey through Europe. And in Paris, they come across the theater of vampires. And Armand is in charge of that theater. In the series, Louis is living in Dubai. As he's recounting his life story to Daniel, who is the interviewer, he has a manservant called, oh God, what's his name? I've forgotten. What do they call him? He's got an alias. And you think he's a, do we think he's a human or do we think he's a vampire?
We think he's a human because doesn't he feed from him at one point?
Yes, he does. He does feed on him at one point. So you think he's just a human lackey. And it turns out in the very like last maybe 3 minutes of the episode that the lackey is actually Armand. And in the novels, Louis leaves Armand and Armand's heartbroken. He's like, I love you. I want to be with you. You know, you're not evil. You're good. And I've always read Armand as kind of like a nice character in the scheme of the novel. But in this series, he's like
A nurse
another
character who runs a
house.
theater that abducts people and kills them nightly.
True, true. I have very selective reading, I think, when I read these novels. I look for the good. But yeah, it then turns out, and it's the insinuation of like Armand puts his just his arm around Louis and the look that Louis has on his face, and you're like, fuck. Like he's actually with Armand. Is he a prisoner of Armand? Is Armand forcing Louis into telling Daniel his story over once again? Because, you know, he doesn't want Louis to be on the record as saying like Lestat was the love of his life. It's actually Armand. I might need to clarify there that. So the series kind of, and this is something else I didn't like about the show until that twist came, was that Daniel meets Louis once again later in life to retrack again and retell his
Right.
story
Let's
once
spell this
again.
out for a second, is that this
Yeah.
isn't a retelling, this is a sequel.
Yeah, it's a retelling of a retelling, I would say.
But the first interview with the vampire interview exists.
Yeah, years ago. So it's
Although the
set in the
premise
present
is
day.
it was never published, I don't think. Or was it? Because he sends him the tapes, but I'm not sure whether it was published or not.
I don't remember. I
Though I
don't.
don't think it was published, because in the book series it gets published, and that's what gets Lestat's attention,
Yeah.
and he comes out. Whereas in this, I don't think it was ever published,
No.
because Louis stole the tapes.
Yes, you're right. So it's
But
then a
then
really interesting.
But the idea is this is a second telling rather than the first
Yeah.
telling
So
again.
the show speaks to the narrative told in the novels, if that's a less, or probably a more complicated way of explaining it. But so throughout the whole television show, or television show, I said that funny, you have Daniel, you know, or the interviewer, pausing and interrupting Louis's story to say, hang on, this is not what you told me back in 1984 or whenever they, you know, staged the, or say the interview was staged originally, and calls him up on all of the narrative inconsistencies. And that really annoyed me as a viewer because I was like, what is the point of bringing up these inconsistencies? Like, who gives a shit? And then with the ending, and again, like that ending, 3 minutes of the entire series just reframed the whole thing for me because I was like, ah, so juicy is
Okay.
all those inconsistencies because of Oman's influence over Louis. So the suggestion, and I think it's very clear, is that Louis has left one toxic, abusive relationship only to be caught up in another.
Okay, there's a lot there, and I want to jump in and process some stuff here because I really loved the interview stuff, the metafictional like commentary stuff. I thought that was incredibly both intriguing, but also like could be really hacky and kind of eye rolling, which it seems like you found it, but I also thought it was very well done and actually like getting at a point. Which again, this is sort of tied in with the novels in that the second book, the Vampire Lestat, is Lestat's own retelling of the story, saying, no, Louis is full of shit. And none of the things that he said happened. And then the later books, there are like a bunch of the sequels, including some of the ones I've read, are retellings of the same story from the different perspectives. So the entire series is based on this like unreliable narrator. And it's sort of like, well, what are their different motives and things, right?
So my gap there is I haven't read past interview because I despise it so much.
Oh, the tale of the body thief. It's so fucking good. That's one where it's actually sorry. Here, look, all I know is the last book is called Lestat, Prince of Atlantis, and I don't know how we get there, but I'm ready. But I didn't really read that much into the Aman reveal at the end. So it is
Really?
very interesting that you have taken so much meaning from that because when I said like we were preparing to do this, and you said, oh, do you want me to tell you the twist before I'd watched it? And I said, no, I'll watch it. But I thought when I started watching it, I thought you meant the twist would be that they're gay, that they are a gay couple. Like that is the twist on the story. We're telling.
How is that a twist on the story? It's
Well,
like
because.
evident from the first episode, I
No,
think.
but from the book or whatever, it's like this version, the twist is they are a gay couple and it's like a domestic sort of thing rather than like a vampire story, right? It is the story of the because the Armand, like it is a twist at the end, but I knew like the moment watching it, I'm like, this series ends with Armand. I didn't know that the guy was going to be Armand, but I'm like, where this series ends is where Louis meets Armand, which
What made
sort of
you think
happens.
that?
Because that's the like this will be Lestat and Louis' story, and then the second season will be the Armand and the Theatre Death Vampire story.
But it only covers half the book, really, this first
Yes, and that's
season.
the
So
half of the
we,
book.
yeah, okay. I can't believe that's, I thought it was going to do the entire book in one go.
Also like seeing how much focus they were putting on like the domestic stuff. I'm like, we're not getting there. So I'm like, they're going to cut it off, and the end will be the reveal of Armand. Now I didn't think he was going to be Louis's lover in the present day. I thought it would be him telling the story, and he goes, then Claudia and I killed Lestat and ran away, and we, and then like the scene in the 90s movie where Antonio Banderas steps out into the street and says, I've been watching you or whatever. I thought that would be the end of the series. Though again, I have to say,
Interesting.
as much as this seems like a departure and a reinterpretation, the version of Armand is much closer to the books because Armand is meant to be a child.
Is it?
He was made a vampire as a child and has aged over thousands of years, but he's called the baby-faced angel. So not Antonio Banderas.
Who
So
makes that movie's just full of the hottest vampires in the world.
Antonio Banderas is as Armand is up there in the hot vampire power rankings.
I think he's the hottest. Or Damon Salvatore, either or.
I think we did discuss this in the episode that I edited. I can't remember whether I left it in or not. My play was for Selma Hayek in From Dusk Till Dawn, but
I still
her
haven't
and
seen that.
Antonio, that's a good couple.
The long hair. I don't know. Tom Cruise has to be the ugliest vampire
I
ever.
think he's a good Lestat.
Not at all. After seeing this depiction of Lestat, like,
Yeah, you're right.
it
This works way
is
better.
my, like, dude, that guy was phenomenal.
Yeah,
I
he's
want to
good.
find, I want to send him, I don't want to find him. That came out really.
Yeah.
Fuckboy Oil Island Stalkerish. I want to send him, like, a really nice letter saying, dude, you're insane. Like,
I really like Tom Cruise's performance in Interview with the Vampire. I think it's great.
no, I can't separate Tom Cruise from his characters.
Yeah, but Lestat is Tom Cruise. He's
Yeah.
a megalomaniacal, narcissistic, disconnected asshole
True, but
who
yeah.
has a magnetic charisma. Like, it works. And I think in that movie, like, I really like Brad Pitt as an actor, especially 90s Brad Pitt. Like, I
Yeah.
think he's great. That movie, Tom Cruise runs fucking rings around him. Brad Pitt
I
is
haven't
just
seen
this
it in so
mopey.
long.
He's just like, oh, I'm a vampire. And Tom Cruise is just eating it. It's great. Anyway, yeah, so it ends with
Interesting.
Armand, but I just thought that, like, obviously it's a twist, but I didn't really think of the implications of the twist. I'm just like, okay, he's with Armand, like, that is the twist to go out with on the end, and then we'll find out what Armand means in the second season. I didn't do any of this, like, reinterpreting of, like, well, that's why he's retelling it or whatever, but you're right, like, there's
Like it
something
has
going
to
on
be.
there.
I can't claim that knowledge for myself. I read, as I always do, when I'm having a really, like, if I hate the show I'm watching, I go, let's go on Reddit. Let's see if everyone else hates this steaming pile of shit as much as I do. And to the contrary, the internet was like, this series is amazing. And I was like, okay, clearly in the few months that it's been released and I haven't watched it, like people are picking up on something that's cool. So I read, it was, I think, a Vanity Fair or a Hollywood Reporter or a Deadline, I think, review of the series. Again, love spoilers, here for them. And yeah, it was recounting the reveal of Armand and then went into like a lot of detail about what that signifies for the series. And that's when I was like, shit, yeah, I'm going to keep watching because this sounds cool. So it's not my own interpretation, it's a borrowed interpretation, but it's one that I fully support and agree with. It's just so.
Armand is definitely part of the thing, but, like, I don't, like, he is a piece of the puzzle. I don't think he is the full explanation for why Louis is wanting to retell this story.
I think he is, because you then, I
But
think
then
I
he would have
had,
opened with Armand.
no, because I think it's supposed to be.
Why keep it a secret? Why feed on Armand and fool the journalist into thinking he's a human or whatever? Why not just have him step out at the end
Because
and go, I'm with
it's the
Armand now?
insidious nature of, I think, the abusive relationship where you're learning about this shocking story from Louis, only to then realize, like, fuck, this guy's found someone worse. Or again, he's stuck in another domestic relationship that's,
Why do
because
we
it's like,
think
why
Armand's
else would
worse?
he? It's because he's controlling. Like, he's really controlling over
That's
Louis in the
true.
series. And I might be, again, I went watched from episode three onwards with the knowledge that Armand is his lover at the end of the series. So I might be then reading too heavily into all these interactions throughout the series. But he is just really controlling over the whole
Okay, so this
interviews,
gets
when they
into.
can start, when they stop. He tells Daniel what diaries to read, so he's controlling and editing the story as it
Right.
goes.
Okay. So yes, I probably didn't pick up on that as much, because when you talk about the controlling, like, there's a scene where I think it's when Daniel's asking about Claudia, the missing thing from Claudia's diary, because she gets raped by another vampire, which again couldn't happen in the books, but
That's such a shocking scene.
the yeah, it's
Or
not great.
it's not great.
But the pages are missing from the book, and he says, well, I need the pages, because if you're editing this, then you could be editing other things. And anyway, the point is, Louis starts to get angry at him and aggressive, and the guy who we later know as Armand steps in and like calms him down and just says, hey, relax. So that's the only thing that, like, stuck out to me when I was like, oh, he wasn't just like this servant controlling him. I actually took it, like, in a less controlling manner, where, like, that is his lover comforting him. Like, it makes sense why he has that ability. But you're right, all through the thing, that the servant guy is dictating the terms of the interviews. So, all right, yeah.
And also when Louis's available,
Yeah.
like he'll, I think Daniel ends up staying the night after receiving chemotherapy, and they give him some sort of weed, or is it medicinal marijuana that they give him? I can't remember, but he gets stoned and then sleeps on the couch and then wakes up to Armand.
Yeah, I think he's just on, like, super powerful government drugs.
Yeah, telling him that, like, Louis's not available, and he brings out all the food, and it's because
I see
that's.
how that can be read as controlling, but also, is that just Louis is genuinely not available and he is playing, like, housekeeper?
No, I think he's like, it's very gothic fiction in terms of,
That's so goth.
female gothic, the prisoner or the daughter's the prisoner in the family home, and there are,
Okay.
forces at work that keep her locked up. Like, Louis is
Yep.
locked up in this house,
That
and
makes sense.
it looks like a prison, and it's interesting because he's never shown leaving the house. Whereas in New Orleans, he's, a man about town. He's always outside. So it's like, why is this vampire always inside?
Well, is the implication, because the first episode he opens the windows and he steps out on the balcony? Because at first I was like, why do the windows open? Because he shows him that he's a vampire. vampire because he sticks his arm out in the sunlight. And I was like, if you're a vampire and you're hiding in this place because you burn, you go out in the sun, why do you have windows that open? But then later we have the scene where it opens at night
burn.
and he goes on the what do you call it, the balcony at nighttime. So I thought the idea was that he is going out at night and telling the interview during the day, and we don't see him out at night because that's not part of the interview. We are only seeing the scenes with Daniel. Any scenes that like aren't the story being told to him.
I could be so wrong here because I didn't take note as I was watching, but I think in the final scene we find out that Louis doesn't, that the sunlight doesn't hurt them, because he walks into the garden where the tree is, although it's indoors, so maybe it could be, you know, double glazed glass.
He definitely burns in the sun in the first episode,
but he doesn't burn in the last episode.
I don't remember.
I'd have to rewatch it, but it's just, I don't, I think, but even right,
there's
then,
something
he's,
going on
he's,
there.
He's on a balcony and he's so far removed from humanity, whereas we see a Louis that's very in touch with humanity, like he is in the books, who is walking around wanting to be a part of social fabric, and yet he's so removed from, and that was, I think, something else that really irked me. Like, why are they just sitting in this one place? Why aren't they leaving?
Can they fly? I in my head, they fly, they float in the last episode, and I don't think that's true. I think I'm making that up.
No. So only we're told that certain vampires have the power. Lestat.
Lestat can fly in the sea, and in the books he can do that, but only after he has drunk from the Queen of the Damned. That is why Lestat becomes so powerful in the later books. Is he drinks the blood of the Queen of the Damned, and all the vampires have the individual gifts. Like there are some that can fly, there are some that can shoot fireballs, but he has all the gifts.
Interesting. That doesn't happen.
Here,
we're just told that certain vampires have the power. And it's framed in terms of like it's another vampire secret that Lestat is withholding from Louis.
I am wondering if they've just reordered it in that the Queen of the Damned stuff happens before the story. Or again, Louis's full of shit.
Exactly. And that's, but we see Armand fly. So that points.
Right. So we do see Armand fly.
Yeah. He floats up to get a diary from the top shelf, which again makes sense.
Do we see Louis
fly? Do we?
No, that's what I'm asking.
No, we don't see Louis fly. We see Lestat and Armand fly.
He can't fly. So he can't leave by the balcony. But
exactly.
Armand can.
Oh,
okay.
If Louis is full of bullshit, which, and this series make like really kind of points to the fact that Louis is an unreliable narrator, but that could also be read as the influence of Armand. But if we're going to substitute Lestat and Armand, perhaps showing Lestat to fly in that abusive scene where he completely beats the crap out of Louis, maybe that's what Armand has done to Louis. And so all of Lestat's behaviors in the flashbacks are actually what Armand did, if that makes sense.
That's interesting.
I reckon that's a reading that could totally be.
I don't know if it'd be one-to-one, but there's something there. Can we talk about the domestic, I was going to say the domestic abuse scene, but the whole series is a domestic abuse scene, but the fight.
It's awful. I've really struggled to watch that.
Now, again, I loved it, and I'm questioning like myself constantly every time I say, I love this scene of domestic abuse. Yeah. But I loved it not as a scene of domestic abuse, of this is what it looks like if two vampires like quarrel, where they are just throwing each other through walls. Like it is a superhero fight scene where they throw him through walls and Lestat drops him out of the air like Superman. And I think there is a reference, they say, Daniel says, what, so you're saying he can fly like Superman? Like it is, they are calling out that this is a superhero thing, which is kind of ridiculous, but that also reads into the meta thing of like, is that Daniel saying your story's crap? You're telling this superhero story and that's not how it was. What I didn't like, because again, we're at completely different ends. I didn't like the last episode at all.
I loved it.
I thought the reveal of Armand was really corny, and I think I think you're telling me that like it's more significant. There's more to it than what I thought. But like as we've just said, he floats up and then he stares into the camera and goes, "And he was the love of my life." I don't think we needed that line. I think he could have just said, "And this is the vampire Armand." But the whole plot to kill Lestat was fucking ridiculous. Like in the book, she just stabs him. She just sneaks up on him and stabs him, right?
No, in the book, she poisons a little boy who's very angelic. And again, it's in the novels that Armand Lestat prefers to feed on young men and women because they're on the cusp of, you know, life. And he's robbing them. And also, of course, the subtext is he's a pedophile. So she brings him the most like angelic child who's just beautiful, like a Botticelli angel.
Yeah.
Poisons him, and then Lestat drinks from him and is poisoned. So it's the same thing.
And then she stabs him. And
Maybe.
she definitely stabs him in the book, I'm pretty sure. But either way, it's like the point of the book is it's very simple, and it's Lestat being sucked in by like his own blindness. Like he can't
Yeah.
see that this plot would be hatched against him, and that it's such a simple thing. And it's also Claudia doing it, right? That she would be the one, which is all there in the series. But it's this hour-long, ridiculous, very dishonored, it's inspired masquerade ball with all the oh, we didn't poison this person, and I could telepathically hear you, but you couldn't have to. And I was like, fuck, this is getting so far away from what is interesting about this series.
Oh.
That was the one time where I think they went for like, let's do a big spectacle of intrigue. And I was like, no, what is interesting is the simplicity of the dynamic between Louis and Lestat.
Yeah, I didn't, that did not bother me,
Okay.
interestingly, which I find, and a lot of my opinions are very contradictory in terms of, I hated the additions of Louis's human life and his family life. I found that to be totally boring, but I loved, probably because of the mise-en-scène. I'm a sucker for mise-en-scène, particularly when you're wearing beautiful,
Is this
like,
a mise-en-scene mean
as
when
in
you're
like the sets, the costuming,
Oh right, just the yep,
the
the
lighting. So
yep.
the ball scene, is just a visual feast for me. Like, that is my sort of television that I love to watch.
Right.
Like, Bridgerton, get me
Cool.
some more
If I never
episodes.
saw another masquerade ball, I could die a very happy man.
Oh, if I died at a masquerade ball, I would be a very happy lady.
Right.
I love them. And I love,
Aren't I the one
I
who's meant to
don't
be into all the ridiculous goth shit?
know. No, I it's not, masquerade's not gothic.
Masquerade's so goth.
No, it's
Phantom of the Opera, baby.
yeah, but that's Phantom of the Opera. This is
That's like the
like,
most goth.
no, this is no.
Also, there's a whole thing. Dracula, the portrayal of Dracula is just Phantom of the Opera because that's how he was portrayed in the stage shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, so I think it's the same thing in terms of it plays into, again, his megalomaniac tendencies where he wants to be the queen of Mardi Gras. So he's, reveling in this. And it's also that really the cruelty of let's get everyone over so we can kill them all and say one last, screw you to the humans.
Yeah, I didn't
I
really
really
buy
enjoyed it.
that. I didn't
I
buy that
liked
as the
it.
premise of that's how we're going to get everyone here and we're going to do our big last stand. Like the thing about Lestat is as showy as he is, like he's or showy's maybe not the wrong word, but he is. He's extravagant and all of that, but he's not this like I don't think Lestat would get everyone together on a ball to and do this month-long of planning. I think he'd just kill the guy in the middle of the street.
No, not at all. Again, in the novels, we're told that
He dropped
Lestat.
Louis out of the fucking sky.
I know, but in the novels, he's always playing the long game.
Is
He's
he?
got a human boy that he keeps,
Impulsive.
and
Impulsive
he
is the word I'm looking
romances
for.
with the carrot being dangled as I will turn you into a vampire. And that, I think, does he turn into a vampire? When they off Lestat, he rocks up to the house and he's like, "Where is he?" And Louis's like, "Oh, we gotta leave because this guy's gonna, tell the world what we did." And he, even the scenes and the scenes I've really hated in the novel because I just found them so horrific. Whenever he feeds and when he's trying to force Louis into feeding on human blood, it's a pantomime. He dresses up, he sets a dinner, hires prostitutes, and
Okay.
they have dinner, but then
That's
they turn
true.
into the dinner. So he's all about the spectacle, and murder is a spectacle to
Right.
Lestat. It's something he plans, and he takes, the suggestion is he takes as much joy, if not more joy, out of the romancing and staging and, seducing humans into intimate company to then brutally kill them. And like, that's what he enjoys. So
Yep,
it
you're
tracks
right.
for me. It tracks for me.
No, you're right. You're definitely right in the series that it is set up that he is like this murder artist, which is very like Hannibal, this TV show inspired. That they're like, what if Lestat was Hannibal? But I think some of my I keep wanting to say interpretation, but that is the right word. To interpret whatever I'm trying to say, some of my interpretation there is definitely colored by having recently read The Body Thief, where he is far more impulsive. Like in that book, he tries to kill himself and then he gives up his body because he's just lusting after all these things. He's not really like thinking about the consequences and stuff. But you're right. In the series, it would make sense that as the murder artist that is set up, and it is actually Louis who does the impulsive murder and hangs the body on the gate. And I was saying that scene where he threw him out of the sky is probably not true. So yeah, you're right. I just wasn't. I didn't want to watch an hour of the ball. I wanted to get back to the journalist metafiction, baby.
I didn't hate the flying in the air. I just thought it was like that scene where Lestat is just beating the crap out of Louis was so distressing to watch.
Oh
But it
yeah, and it's
was,
all from Claudia's perspective as well.
yeah, it was just, and seeing her so like upset, like it was just. just because you never do you see that happen in the book? Is he ever physically violent in the novels? I
I
don't
don't
think
think
so.
so, no. And if it's not significant if it's there.
Yeah, and so I just think the show rendered their relationship so well. And I think it was I loved the whole thing. I thought the stupid like it was a bit protracted, you're right, when you know they picked certain people to feed on and there was the gathering around the bowl and the fountain of youth. I was like, just screw it, just kill them. Like I
Oh,
don't
I
want
did think that
this.
was funny when they were just fucking with them about the elixir of life.
Yeah, but
Rather than
what?
just killing them, they're like, no, it's totally this water. Drink it. Do
Yeah. No,
it.
so the one thing I didn't love was how Lestat is seen to have a woman that he keeps across the Mississippi or wherever it's set, and then he turns her into a vampire, and then she becomes his like eyes and ears and spies on
So
Louis
she
and
was a
Claudia.
vampire.
She ends up he ends up turning her, I think.
That was another thing
Bef
with the
when they
masquerade.
say kill her, I think he turns her and then takes her finger off.
I know he takes her finger off, but I don't know. I was never sure if she was a vampire or not.
Yeah, she fights Claudia and like, and the fangs pop
Okay,
out.
this is how checked out I was in the masquerade. I was
Yeah,
just like,
no, so
okay.
she's definitely, and I thought to me that lessened Lestat's like, because he's meant to be this ominous, omnipresent presence in the novels where, you know, he knows everything, he sees everything. They did it really well, I think, in the television show with the chessboard as a metaphor in terms
Oh,
of
I
like,
didn't like that either.
he's always 5 steps ahead
Was
in the
like,
game, but also in, he's like Littlefinger. We were in Woodend, slight digression, over the weekend, volunteering at Edgar's Mission, which is a fantastic animal sanctuary in Lancefield. And the Friday night beforehand, we just popped the telly on and season 7 Game of Thrones was playing. And it was the episode where Littlefinger says to Sansa, in your mind, play every single possibility that could ever happen. Like you're always at war, you're never at war. All these things are truthful, like and held in truth at the same time. So that, you know, you're never surprised and you're always planning. And it's such a, you know, devilish piece of advice. But to me, that is Lestat. Like he's always planning for every eventuality. So, and that's why it's so difficult for them in the novels to get away from Lestat, because they're like, fuck, he's always 5 steps ahead. So when he ended up in the show Claudia, which I didn't like, she's so shown to set off by herself without Louis, twice. And the second time, Lestat finds her and brings her back. And to me, that would have just been so perfect had they left that unsaid and not explained that he knew that she was escaping because he had his, you know, vampire missus stalking her and spying on her.
I think that works for the reasons that you said, that he is doing the intricate murder art stuff. That the reason Lestat is so omnipresent and stuff is he has these networks, again in the books, and I'm going to keep
Yeah.
saying in the books, but in the books he has like worldwide networks of information and things, and that is why, you know, so I that works for me. What was the other thing you said there about, oh, the chess game, the chess first draft like
Yeah.
metaphor, that really, no, the chess game was my least favorite thing of the whole thing. It's like, get it, because they're in a competition and she's going to outwit him. Did you get it?
Yeah.
It was pretty, I thought that was pretty sloppy in an otherwise fairly subtle and often implicit
Yeah.
series.
It's funny, this whole chat, we are on different, like, in terms of what we each find implicit and explicit and what's ruining the implicity for us both. And I'm finding, like, I'm keeping track of it in my
Yeah,
head.
that's
And it's,
every time you say something I
yeah, it's
liked, you're like, that was
very
dumb.
interesting. I didn't mind. I liked the chess playing just for how snarky Lestat and Claudia were, because they were really the only scenes
The
from
dialogue
memory,
is
or at least that
gorgeous.
stand out to me of their of how much they hate each other. And like her just like talking shit about him and him being like, you're such a brat, I hate you. And then Louis just being like, oh my God, can you just shut up, the two of you? I liked the quips, but the
They
actual
were good
game of like
quips,
chess
yeah.
playing perhaps wasn't. Like to me, I think it's only, or in my mind, I think it's only cool because of that concept of, you know, the 5 steps ahead playing chess, and that's how he approaches life. And then Claudia's like, I'm going to be 10 steps ahead of you.
They could have just said that. I don't know. They could have just been snarking at each other around the house. I don't think they had to have like these chess games. Like, again, like the Masquerade, if I never see a chess game in a film, I could, yeah, I'd be a happy man. All right. Do you have any more generalities to say? Because we have talked about this series for an hour now, and we have not mentioned any of the
I
vegetarian
know,
food stuff,
for a
of which
reason.
there is a lot.
Any other generalities? Oh, so we haven't really, like, we have spoken about Claudia, but
You
obviously
said
she
you didn't
hasn't.
like her. Have a guess how I feel about Claudia.
You loved it?
Thought she was great.
So in the novels, I would argue she doesn't have as expanded a role as she does in the series. Like, it's
Oh, definitely not.
very different. And I liked, I don't know, I loved the actress. I thought she was really fun in the series, but she wasn't, I don't know,
Right.
like, we're in the novels. Claudia and Lestat, like, they're father and daughter and bonded in so much as they're both brutal, horrific killers. They both
Okay.
take great pride in seducing, destroying, killing, murdering, dismembering. Claudia tracks down and kills her entire living family. Lestat also likes to take out entire families. So they're both shocking. She's not so shocking in the novel, sorry, in the television series. They give her a far more sympathetic rendering. They also give more expression to her sexuality and how, you
Yeah.
know, she's the body of a, she's a little bit older, I think, in the
Oh,
movie than
you're
the
talking about
television
the True
show.
Blood thing. She talks about how she's always going to be a virgin because her hymen's going to grow back every time she has
Yes,
sex. I'm
thank
like,
you. That
that is
was
the
taken
sting from True Blood.
straight out of True Blood.
She is definitely aged up. Well, they say she's 14 in the show, so that I think that is a similar
Yeah.
age or a younger age.
Oh,
But
no,
then
she's more,
she's
she's a
passing as
child. She's a child in the novels.
a 14-year-old's
She's,
not children.
well, no, she's like a 7-year-old.
Yeah. So, but she's a young teenager, and then she is by the end of it passing as 19.
Yeah.
And
Which I think is true. Like, she does,
well, I
either
was
it's
going
like
to
the
say she
makeup
was
department,
passing
but
as
they make
19 for the
her.
whole time. There's no way I thought she was like a 14-year-old at any point.
And then, like, she's given an actual romantic relationship with a human. She hates humans and humanity in the novels. And then kind of falls in love with this guy who is a bit dubious because he tells her, he takes her out on a date despite already thinking she's like
Yeah.
15,
And then
16.
he's
It's
like,
like,
oh,
dude,
this
what are
isn't a
you
date.
doing? But anyways,
There
and
are some
then
weaknesses with her portrayal. Like, as much as I like the
there are.
character, I like the actress, but like, and when you're saying she has a far more sympathetic thing, like she has bodies in her closet, like literal skeletons in the closet. So she is, I think she is far
I
more
forgot about that.
overtly monstrous in here. That was a little bit silly when like the montage of her hiding everything in the house when the police are coming, and it's like,
I
what,
like
she
that.
just has body. The scene itself was good, and I'll come back to the tone of that in a second, but I just thought it was a bit ridiculous that she had like a whole body in the cupboard. Or that would have been all right by itself, but she has a body in a cupboard and then just like feet hanging everywhere. And
Yeah.
then also that, like, when they go looking for a journal, they open up her coffin and her journal's sitting there. And I thought, of course it's sitting there. She's left it there for them to find and read. But then later she comes back. She's like, oh, how dare you read my journal? And she's running into, oh, I thought the journal stuff was a bit overdone in that she's literally like walking around, speaking out loud while she's writing in it. But back to the scene where she's hiding all the body parts, which is like, there's a lot of played for comedy stuff. And that's clearly one of them, the whole scene with the body falling out and her hiding it from the police and things. Louis and Lestat's like two coffins that sit next to each other. And when they're having the arguments in the coffin, they're lifting it up and yelling it. Big What We Do in the Shadows vibes. Like, there is a weirdly, as serious and like dark as this is, there is a lot of What We Do in the Shadows going on of just like hilarious vampire squabbling.
I really liked it. And in terms of them being like, go to bed, and her refusing to go to bed, like, seeing the domestic life that, or the early domestic life that the three of them share, you're right, it was very funny.
Like specifically the scene where they're bickering in the coffins. I thought this could be straight out of What We Do in the Shadows.
So there's so much the series does do that I like, but back to Claudia being sympathetic, they give her a romance story and then she's in the car, maybe having sex or at least getting to having sex.
I
And
think she's having sex, yeah.
then she feeds on him and then kills him. And then she's like heartbroken. And I was just like, why is this being, that really irked me. I didn't need that Claudia storyline.
Yeah, it seems like she would have been like, if we're going by her previous portrayals, that she would have been into it, like that she likes to have sex and kill people. I would have gone with that a bit more. I was waiting the rape scene. I was waiting for her to turn around and fuck him up.
So backtracking there for listeners. So the first time Claudia leaves Louis and Lestat, she goes to college.
Yeah.
And we realize that she's at college because there's all these newspaper clippings about horrific murders. Again, I totally miss this.
That was another What We Do in the Shadows style scene. Some of the newspaper reports where
The
they're like
newspaper reports of like people being dismembered and like all these
found drained of
murders,
blood in the library and
at
things.
university, which is hilarious. And then at university, she meets this like bad boy on a motorbike, and what does she? she meet him on the run or does she go?
He's
No.
no, he's at the, he shows up at the university when the guy's telling her to get out of there because she's black or whatever, and he shows up, and
Yes.
it's the Easy Rider scene that is directly parodied. Have you seen Twin Peaks?
No.
In the most recent season of Twin Peaks, there is a scene Michael Cera shows up, and there's just a straight up like parody scene of Easy Rider, which is the like the guy showing up on the motorbike in the 50s and defending the girl. Like that is it. This scene is like shot for shot, almost like they have taken that parody scene out of Twin Peaks and dropped it in here. Like I was like, is that Michael Cera when he shows up on the motorbike? I thought it was ridiculous. But he shows up and says, I hear, no, he knows she's there because Louis is calling for her telepathically every
Yes,
night.
and
And
he
he
can hear
hears
her.
that. So he goes looking for her.
Yeah, so and then she's like, oh, cool, another vampire. Like, let's, she thirsts for knowledge about vampires, where they come from, where they exist. So goes off with him. He takes her to a campsite and they're sitting by a fire. And then she tries to leave. He stops her and ends up raping her. And it's just a shocking scene. And I feel for her in that scene. And I think to me, the rape scene, it makes sense why they show her desiring so much for a romantic relationship with a human, because it's like, another thing gets taken away from her. So it's that, like much of this series, everything retrospectively makes sense. And there's like deliberate pairings that you're like, oh, they'd made that creative decision because in a few episodes later, we get this. And it kind of just further solidifies, her loss as a vampire. And it's interesting, I don't know if that's the right word, like the amount of trauma that she's shown to suffer as a result of the rape in terms of, she journals about it, then rips the pages out. She refuses to
I don't think
tell.
she ripped the pages out.
Oh, you reckon it was Louis?
Louis
Yes,
definitely ripped
because
them out.
she doesn't tell Louis.
Whether they're about the rape or there's something else there, or if the
Yeah.
rape even happened, those
How does
pages were ripped
Lestat
out by
find out
Louis.
about it? Because
She comes back. I think he just assumes, because she comes back and she's all like fucked up and comes
yeah.
home. And he's like, oh, did you find out that, you're not king shit in the world, that there are other vampires?
Yeah.
He goes, you met another vampire and he wasn't your friend. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, you learned that there are worse things than me out there.
It's just, it's interesting. So I found like Claudia's role was, I don't know. And then I did, like, I don't want to say I liked it again, but I felt
Well, you need to
Lestat.
say whether you liked it or not so I know whether I liked
I
it or
know.
not.
Like, I liked it, but I didn't like it in
All right, well,
terms
then
of
I don't.
like if it's an
Now I do.
insensitive use of the word. But when Lestat shows up on the train to bring her home after she escapes for the second time, and then he uses the knowledge of her rape to force her to coming back into the domestic violence household.
Oh yeah, that's fully like abusive Lestat thing. I'm gonna go out
Yeah.
on I'm gonna say I liked that in terms of I liked the construction of it from a
Yeah.
storytelling point. There was something about that scene where he shows up on the train and like I thought it would be cool if that ended and he came through the door or whatever, but then like he stares into camera and he's like, I'm here, baby, or he says
Yeah.
something where I was like, there's a couple of moments like that, like the
Oh,
same
but
thing with the Armand at the end.
he had the kit ticket conductor's head that he was puppeteering to talk for him. I really liked that scene. Had me on edge because there's a dog in a cage next to Claudia, and I was like, I swear to God, if he kills the dog, I'm done. I can't. I'm very sensitive to animal abuse and animal death, particularly representations. Like again, in that Game of Thrones episode, where have you seen Game of Thrones?
I don't Game of Thrones, so no.
Okay, so there's like a big fight where it's one of the armies and Khaleesi, who is one of the characters,
I know,
has
yeah,
three
I know who she is.
dragons. And it's the first time you see the dragon in battle and it's epic. It's just
I
like,
have seen the dragon battles. Like I've seen
yep.
bits and pieces, but I don't know the show and I
Yeah,
haven't
so then
really watched it yet.
there's like two warriors fighting and they kind of like they're running at each other almost like in a joust. And instead of trying to cut the human, one of them bends down and just chops the legs of the horse off so they fall. And that scene, like, oh, any sort of film or show where there's depictions of, violence against animals, I just do not cope. So that whole scene where they're talking for about like what, 2, 3 minutes, Lestat opens the cage, lets the dog out, is patting the cage. I was like, oh my God.
Well, you know, Lestat's not going to eat the dog because he's not the
I know, but
vegetarian.
he could kill the dog.
Why would
Like
he?
he doesn't care about animal life.
Well, neither does Louis. So,
But
were
yeah.
you not out about this dog? You didn't stop watching the show every time Louis just picked up a cat or something and ate it and threw it out in the street.
I
Which again, there's some What
no,
We Do in the
because
Shadows vibes in this
yeah,
because there's one scene where he
yeah.
opens a drawer and he pulls a rat out of the drawer and he eats it.
Yeah. But you know that's going to happen with Louis. So I think there's an expectation where I'm like, and it's not torturous. And we'll come back to that in a minute, because there is a scene where Louis does engage in torturous behavior with an animal that is really interesting. But this seems to start just like patting the dog and talking to Claudia. And I was like, oh my God, at any moment, like, is this dog going to die? Like, I was on edge, as I imagine Claudia is supposed to be in that moment where you're like, am I gonna die? Is he gonna kill me? Like, what's gonna happen? And then thankfully he puts the dog back in the cage, which, seen as the train's just been decimated, probably not a great outcome for the dog, because it could just be stuck in that cage and starve to death. But
Pratchett.
I'm gonna just hope someone comes for the thing. But do we now veer
Yeah, I
to
think I
Louis
was trying
Rosario?
very hard to
Yeah, to veer me off.
segue into the
Sure.
vegetarian stuff of yeah,
Sure.
okay, so there's a lot. Now, I have my only notes that I took because I didn't bother taking notes about the whole vampire stuff because I'd never get through it, but I took notes in each episode of the vegetarian stuff. So do we want to just walk through that rather than trying
Let's
to
do it.
talk it all at once? Let's look at how
Yep.
it develops. Okay. In episode one,
Yes.
they talk about, which my first note is, Lestat is so cool. He punched through that priest's head. But no, the other notes I have for that episode are he tell oh when Louis is telling Daniel about feeding on people, he refers to feeding them on people without killing them as the little drink, and claims it requires extreme restraint to not kill while drinking. Which I find interesting because, as per our previous discussions, I think drinking from humans without killing them is morally superior to drinking from animals and killing them. But also, going back to the books I'm reading through, I've just started the fifth book, which is Memnoch the Devil. And at the start of that, there's another guy who's been turned into a vampire. I won't explain all of this, but there was a whole section where, which the whole start of this book is monologuing about the nature of vampires. So it's going to be very useful to go back and mine through that. But Lestat explains that older vampires don't need to feed, but they are compelled to. And I think the implication is him at his stage in life, like he doesn't need the blood, but he keeps killing because he has to. It's this biological drive. So I did think there that that is interesting in that it is setting this out as its desire, not for sustenance or for sustenance, but along with in the books, not for sustenance so much, but in the show, for sustenance, but along with the kill. Although you're not allowed to drink from the vampires that are dead because then you'll die.
And humans that are like, once they start dying, if you keep drinking, you die too.
But we're
I
setting
don't
it up
think in the
that.
novels there's no discussion of restraint in terms of, Louis, oh no, but he does kill all the humans that he drinks, doesn't he?
Yeah, in some of the sequels, I think there are moments where Lestat drinks from people and he stops himself from killing them, but mostly he is feeding on criminals and killing them. Yeah. So it's sort of setting out the rules that, like, that's not an option, or if it is an option, it's extremely difficult that they can't just, like, not kill humans, that to drink from humans is to kill them. We're establishing that in the opening episode. Then he punches through a priest's head and it fucking rules. And then we get to episode two.
Episode two does a lot.
Episode, yeah, that's the one I have the most notes for, I think.
I have four notes on this episode. Episode three, I have more on.
All right, well, do you want to do your notes? What are your four notes?
So my first note is that Armand, as the servant, gives Louis a blood bag.
Yep.
And the quote is that it's AB negative, fresh from the
I
farm.
also wrote down fresh from the farm.
Yeah. So a few interesting things there I thought was A, the introduction of a blood bag, something not that we don't see obviously in the books.
No.
So again, I'm reading the influence of Vampire Diaries and other novels since and shows where blood
Yep.
bags feature, just like the Hyman thing with Jessica. You can see that this series is not only, adapting from Anne Rice, but also kind of doing everything else at once.
Yeah.
I thought the mention of AB negative was again interesting because there's no discussion of blood taste in the novels. We're told,
Yeah.
like, there's no discussion of, animal blood either, even being nutritionally less than human blood. The only quote or quip that Lestat makes is that rat blood grows cold too quickly.
Yeah.
So there's some aesthetic elements to the taste, but there's no like preference of blood.
Okay, I didn't think the AB negative was particularly significant. I thought it was just like a funny thing to say about certain vampire blood. But you're right, there's some implications you could draw on that.
Yeah.
But we've got two other things going here. One is that the blood bags, the use of blood bags after establishing the first episode that to feed is to kill. The use of blood bag implies feeding without killing. And we
Exactly.
get fresh from the farm though, which that could just be like the A being negative thing. Like, is that just Armand having a joke?
Yeah.
Right? Is it fresh from the farm, or is this implying some kind of human blood farm, which we
Yeah.
don't see in the show or in the books, but is a common trope of the modern vampire stuff that this series is now drawing from? Like, I think it's just a joke, but you could read into that.
Also, there's like I'm sure animals have blood types just like humans do.
I guess.
But that also then raises the question of is it animal blood? Because the farm makes you think of obviously an animal, but
Oh, I
I
think it
think
was
you're
human blood.
right in that it's a joke, but I think it's derogatory use of farm there to refer to a human body. I didn't read of it
Okay,
as a
right.
farm as such. I was just like, it's derogatory, which again made me think this is weird because in the books, Louis has some sort of moral and ethical inclination to not feed on humans because they are humans and worthy of life, which is why he feeds on animals because they're lesser animals in his view.
Yeah.
But again, then it's Armand giving Louis the food. So it's not Louis referring to the
Ooh,
blood as
okay.
the farm, it's Armand. And again, we know looking at all these interactions that through, so in, I could be getting a little bit ahead here, but all of Louis's feeding habits are dramatically different with very little ethical or moral inclination in, I would argue, the show, whether
Yeah.
it's taking human life or animal life.
I like your read of perhaps Armand's influence is
And I
corrupting
think it's
Louis'
Armand's
morals.
influence.
Yeah, okay.
Because later in that episode, and this really upsets me, Louis is again given by Armand a live fox that it's tied up by its legs and it's rustling around and it's panicked and it's like, eh! And then Louis bites into it, like rather aggressively. And Louis tying up an animal to then be served it on a plate at a table is the sort of pantomime performative behavior that Lestat has around food. Like he's the one that brings humans to the dinner table and then, ties them up and,
Right.
styles them. And
That
then
is
you
very
get
interesting.
Louis being fed this. And that made me think, I sat there and I was like, what the hell? Like, what is this show doing in terms of its understanding of Louis's diet? Like, why would he be getting
Well, the other part
animal
of this
fought to
scene
him?
is this the scene where that he gets served the fox? Is that that's during the same scene where he is serving Daniel all the different
Yes.
meats?
Yes. And the Daniel's quip is after Louis comes late to dinner is you missed at least two or three endangered species.
Now, again, I think that could just be like a joke, but it could also, like, I don't know if
Yeah.
he's actually serving endangered species or if he's just
No.
like, but he also might be.
I think it, I read it as a commentary of just because you see him eat all this meat. And I think it was just a quip as to be like, you're serving me a lot of animals right now. Like, it's a bit ridiculous. It's a bit over the top.
And that's why the being Louis being served the fox, like, yes, it's horrific and things, but like the show is deliberately contrasting Daniel's meat eating with Louis. It's not just like in the books, it's like Louis eats animals and that's the end of the story. It's because like of his moral, it's not to do with eating. There's no contrast to human meat eating or whatever. The
No.
show is constantly going, the way he feeds is the way Daniel is feeding.
But it's just the fox being tied up and he takes his time with
This is a
it.
very Hannibal scene,
And
Hannibal,
it's
the TV
just,
show.
it's not Louis's behavior in the novels to animals or to humans. Like he, there's a scene early on where in the novels this is, where Lestat gets a rat, slits its throat, and then holds the rat over the wine glass, and it disgusts Louis. Lestat's then treatment of humans for food also disgusts Louis, and Louis's later diet of human blood also disgusts Louis to the point where he tells you quite explicitly he starves himself throughout the day in order to get to a point at night where he can feed without being conscious. Like he gives over to his hunger and kind of just acts out and feeds. And his feeding is, again, and I've mentioned this earlier, contrasted heavily in the novels to Claudia and Lestat, who will, find their prey, play with them over the course of a week, and then kills them. And so, I don't know, the scene where he's got the fox tied up in front of him and he kind of goes with it is just so unlike Louis in the novels.
Do we want to jump ahead to the last episode for this one? Or do we build up to it?
I'm not sure where you're going with that, but yep, keep going.
Oh no, maybe it's the one before. Okay. I mean, later once they get back together, maybe it's one of the later ones. But Claudia and Lestat, when they're back to like playing family or whatever, they tell Louis that they don't like that he eats animals, and that if they're going to be a family, he has to stop
Yes.
doing that. And that when they hunt together and they hunt humans. And who is it that says,
Oh,
is it still two
whoa.
legs for what?
My computer just spazzed on me. That's all right.
All right, we're
It's
back.
in the next episode. It's in episode three.
I've got it as a note for episode six.
Oh, okay, maybe it's episode six. I've got a different.
Then there's something. Who is it that says, is it two legs for Claudia and four legs for Louis?
Yes,
Who
that's
says that?
Lestat when he comes back and he's like, is it still two legs and four legs?
Right. But yes, there's something about that Louis is not welcome as part of their family. As a quote unquote vegetarian vampire, which, as we see from eating a live fox, he clearly isn't a vegetarian. But also, there's something there in that, like, he caves, he compromises whatever morals he had, that he just goes, okay.
Yeah, he with no fight. He just goes, sure, done. Let's go.
And obviously, that changes again when we get back to the present day, where he's feeding from blood bags and animals and voluntary people and Armand. Like, there are a lot of steps in between this series and where he ends up. But like, the series is constant. Like, as much emphasis as we put on Louis' vegetarianism in the books, it is just like this little scene. It's about him struggling to become a vampire, but then it has no significance later on. It's just that is a phase he went through, right? The show is constantly saying this ethics of eating is like part of Louis' existence, and it's
Well, I'd
constantly
argue it
shifting.
is. Like, I read it as a very important part of the novels. But in the series, he even offers up, and I think this is where I got confused. In episode three, Louis suggests, like, why don't we just feed on the worst of them? And that's a quote, as in, like, the criminals of humanity. Like, that's
That's what
better
Lestat
than.
ends up doing in the
And that's
books.
what he, yeah. But that Louis even offers that up as an option in episode three, where he's like, well, why don't we, we can live in animal blood, but if we don't do that, then why don't we just kill bad people? And it's like, dude, this is not you. Why are you meant, like, why is this an option you're considering and offering up
Well,
off your own bat in episode three?
this is what I mean when I say it's not significant in the books. Like, it's significant, but it doesn't impact the plot. Once he gives up trying to eat animal food and starts eating human, that's it. It's over. It's settled. He just eats people now. This, it's like it's constantly being renegotiated, readdressed, and all these different, like, this is him sort of going through it, being like, okay, but what if we did eat criminals? Like, what about that? And we'll go back to finish up. Oh, hang on. We'll go back to episode two in a second, but you've jumped to episode three. Because that has the scene where Lestat says, okay, if you're worried about killing people, here's a man who was dying, who was literally in the street, like bleeding out, dying or something, right? And he goes, well, eat him. He's going to die in a couple of minutes anyway. And Louis doesn't. And instead, I think very violently grabs a cat and sucks the cat. Which my note for that is not cool.
Yeah, not
Like,
cool.
eat the dying man. What are you doing?
Shielded the cat's eyes from that one when it
The
happened. We're not watching it.
utilitarian in me is screaming. That cat had a long life ahead of it. What are you?
Yeah.
So yeah,
But
for
even
whatever.
then, he bites into it straight away. He doesn't play with it like he plays with the
No.
fox.
But
And
it's just a healthy cat has more value to Louis implicitly than a man with 3 minutes to live or whatever. Yeah. You're right. He doesn't play with it. It's just grab, throw.
Yeah, the throw reminded me of this Simpsons episode that my partner loves, where it's a veterinarian on a hamster
Yep.
and the hamster flatlines, and the doctor's like, I hate it when this happens, picks it up and then just piffs it off screen. And you see there's a bin, and above the bin's like a little basketball ring, and the animal, like the hamster, goes through
Yeah.
the basketball ring into the bin, and it's just like, oh my God.
It's
And like
very similar to that.
Louis throwing the cat, I just went straight there. I was like, oh,
Yeah.
not
Jumping
great.
back to episode two for a second, because that's the one where we have the did he eat the baby discussion, where, he feels compelled to eat his sister's newborn, is it niece or nephew? And he doesn't.
Yeah, I don't think he does. Oh,
Well,
I'm not sure. You don't see it either way.
the way he tells it, he doesn't. I don't know if we ever see that kid again, because we
No,
see
because
the parents again in the
there's
future.
two. They there's a birthday, kid's birthday
All
party that
right.
he goes to,
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so
and
he doesn't eat the
there's.
child,
I don't think so.
but it
But
is.
anyway, like, I don't think a child would have much blood in them. Like, a little baby, surely you're not getting much, bang for your buck.
But also, there's something there where, like, Daniel has to press him on, did you eat the child? Like, I don't know why he doesn't just say, no, I didn't. Like, it kind of implies he's lying.
But again, I think that's, as you were saying, like the whole unreliable narrator is really pressed early in this series. And that's just probably why, because Daniel's like, are you telling me the truth or not? Like, why the fuck are we doing this interview again?
In episode two, we have Louis stating that he no longer kills and that his last kill was in the year 2000. Don't need to comment on that. That's just establishing that is his claim. That's also, along with the fox, we have the what appear to be voluntary humans who there's like a line of people sitting there that he feeds on while Den's eating the steak. So again, with the fox, it's like while he's eating a steak, Louis is feeding on these people. But also we have, along with the blood bags, we have animals, we have the voluntary feeding, we have everything but synthetic blood here. Louis's doing all of it.
He even eats, we get in that episode, he says that he eats a human meal once a week to maintain a connection to humanity.
Right, they can eat food in this series. They can't taste it. He says it
No.
tastes like nothing.
It does a
But
lot of food related work, this episode.
doesn't Claudia do something similar? I think she does something where there's something she eats.
She's on a date and with the guy that she ends up rooting and booting, but instead of booting, kills. It's, I think it's like a milkshake date,
Yeah,
but
she eats the ice cream.
she doesn't eat it. You see her like playing with it and he's like, oh, do you not like it? And she's like, no, I love it, but doesn't eat it. She's like playing with it.
All right, so now we can jump officially ahead to episode three. We talked about the dying man versus the cat. I think it's Lestat also who says that Louis's choice not to drink from humans, a vampire. Oh yeah, a vampire not feeding on humans is the equivalent of a fish that doesn't swim or a bird without flight. So again, just equating this as a natural thing, and an essential thing. We also in this episode get the explicit mention of the word vegetarian, where Lestat accuses Louis. He says, "You know, you're pretending you're a vegetarian," which I like because that is this is like the
That's what
cow,
you're saying to all these books. You're
right?
not vegetarian.
Right, but it's the cow to you subtext thing because that is the implication of Twilight. Like, not Bill, Bill's True Blood. Who's the Twilight guy? Edward.
Edwin.
Edward says it's our joke. He says it's ironic, but then no one else treats it as ironic. Whereas this is Lestat going, "You're pretending." He doesn't even try and make a joke. He's just like, "It's not real."
But again, you still have the use of the word vegetarian to refer to a diet of animal blood.
That is true.
So yes, we still have the application of the term. But and I don't think it's Lestat pointing out that it's wrong. He says to him, you can't pretend you're vegetarian. Like he's like, you can't pretend that you want to feed on animal blood and you don't want to feed on human blood, is how I interpreted that line.
All right, is that everything for episode three?
No. So
Okay.
back to the nutritional aspect of blood, as I said, like what, a few minutes ago, there's no discussion of nutritional value, poor or otherwise, in the novels. It's something we only get in Twilight, which is interesting. And then shows after Twilight sometimes pick up on it. Vampire Diaries picks up on it, in terms of Damon in episode one, when he like launches himself at Stefan and they fall out of a window and it's epic. Good episode where Damon's like, you're weaker than me, I'm more powerful because I feed on human blood, you'll never be able to beat me. So then animal blood is equated with, a loss of power in Vampire Diaries. In interview in the show, Louis tells us, and I quote, I barely had the energy to hold up a book. My libido was also not what it had been. So we have there a direct influence, or not influence, what's what I'm looking for? We can see Twilight's influence in terms of a vegetarian diet is equated with a, a lack of energy. But we also see, I think, Buffy's influence in terms of in Buffy, animal blood is equated with impotence when it comes to vampires. And we have that really clearly here, more clearly than what we see in Buffy, where he's like, my libido was not what it had been. Like, I can't get it up because I drink animal blood.
Right. Okay, you've reminded me here, so this is good. I'm going to do the in the books thing again. So go back to the idea that, yeah, Lestat's cool, Rice runs with him, and then Louis is literally sidelined. Like, he is just put in a shack in New Orleans, and Lestat occasionally visits him, and he is just, like, absolutely pathetic. And it is, I think he is described as pathetic. Lestat calls him pathetic. Like, it's just Louis fucking sucks. But it's interesting as much, he is the vegetarian vampire vampire pioneer. In the lore of the Vampire Chronicles books, and I think it says it in the Body Thief, and then it reiterates it at the start of Memnoch the Devil that I've just started. Well, starts talking about how he feeds on criminals and things, but also like he feeds on people and he can stop himself. And he says, but Louis can't. I can only do that because I'm strong. Louis is too weak to feed without killing. So it's sort of interested that by that part in the series, it's flipped that now Louis is the instinctual killer and Lestat is the one who has the strength to show restraint, which I find extremely interesting. But also, yeah, tying in this case, it's sort of like the vegetarian aspect or whatever is the empowering part. It's not that Louis is a weaker vampire because he can't not drink blood. It's that he can't not drink blood because he is a weaker vampire. Only strong vegetarian, only strong vampires can be vegetarian. Which this comes around to, this is also, and I don't know where this goes, but Lestat saying that I don't need to feed anymore. So the stronger a vampire gets in the Vampire Chronicles books, the less he needs to feed and kill.
That happens in, oh, what series is it? Can't remember now, but there's a series I've read recently where the older you get, the less blood you need. That's going to really bother me until I can remember it.
I mean, is it the Vampire Chronicles? That the Queen of the Damned, she's not dead. She's just sitting in her throne forever because she's so old that she doesn't like do anything.
Sounds like the Volturi in Twilight. Alrighty. Yeah. The only other note on feeding that I took, I think I just stopped taking notes after episode four, was that when Louis tries to teach Claudia how to kill, he tells her it can be quick and painless or extravagant. And of course, she goes for the extravagant option. But again, you have Louis quite early in the series telling her, you can either feed one of two ways. One is a merciful and Lestat does keep that quote from the novel where he calls Louis merciful death for how he kills. But even then, and again, jumping ahead to that final episode, you see Louis kill just as horrifically as Lestat and Claudia. Like Lestat corners that lady around the piano before launching on her. Claudia also stalks people throughout the house and like throws them up against walls and rips their necks out. And Louis does too. So there's some very, I don't know, like, unless his attempt to be superior via his diet is again something that's unreliable, if we take the whole show to be unreliable.
I mean, the book, the source material would, that meta aspect would suggest that it's a genuine part of the story. The interesting bit for me there is that Claudia is another of his abusers, right? It's not the Lestat to Armand. There's Claudia in between because she wants to get rid of Lestat, but not because she's like Louis, because she wants to be Lestat. And she's the one who orchestrates this whole plan, and she wants to run away with Louis. Like, she's in league with Louis, but she is doing all the things Lestat does.
But that is framed as a response to the domestic violence she witnesses. She says, nah, like, I can't. She takes care of him. Like, we have that little montage where it's been 3 years since the event, and we're told that Claudia is Louis's carer. She helps him rehabilitate, and you've got that scene where he chases a goat throughout the house,
Oh yeah,
which,
she teaches him how to hunt.
yeah, so she teaches him, like, how to hunt again. So
And
her desire to kill the start, perhaps it's surface reading, but at least it is largely motivated by, because she says to him, like, you can't take him back. Like, this dude nearly killed you. Dad, abuse. Hello. We're
well, I
not
don't
going
know about
back for
the dad
this.
part. I agree with all of that, except she explicitly says to him, we can run away together and pose as a couple, which goes back to my she wants to be Lestat. She wants to
See,
occupy that role.
I've missed that part.
I'm sure it's in there. Maybe I'm full of shit because I don't have the quote written down, but I'm sure she says, she's like, I'm no longer going to pose as your daughter. And she's saying we can run away and we can be something else. And maybe it's the subtext, but like that is the implication. She's telling him, I don't want to be your daughter, and I want to get rid of Lestat, and we can go off together. And while she's, trying to find a lover the whole time.
I
And he rejects
wonder.
her because it is an interesting distinction. Lestat in both the series and the books is explicitly bisexual, whereas Louis is almost asexual slash homosexual with Lestat in the books.
I reckon he's bisexual, or I would say straight, because I've never read their relationship in the novels as being queer.
Well, I told you in the second book they kiss in front of
Yeah.
everyone on the stage. Like
Yeah.
he
And
isn't a couple with
again, yeah. So I
Lestat.
haven't read past that. But in the novel, his first romance is with Babette, who's the female that he falls in love with. And then when he's like reveals himself to be a vampire, she tries to kill him and calls him the
Right.
devil.
Okay, I don't remember that part, so
So there is, so his first ability, or his, when he says, as a vampire, I can love. It's in reference to his relationship with Babette, first and foremost. So if
Right.
anything,
Okay.
then he's bisexual as well.
Right. And then it would seem to be he is more straight leaning and is just seduced by Lestat. But yeah, in the show, he is explicitly gay.
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas Lestat is everything.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Have we said everything we want to say about Interview with the Vampire?
I think so. I can't wait to get stuck into analyzing. I don't understand Louis's dietary ethics in this series.
Well, it's because we're missing everything between.
Yeah. I still think it's perhaps Armand. It's the only way I can reconcile it in myself is that it has to be Armand's influence of.
Well, he's gone back to not killing. He doesn't hunt people and he doesn't kill when he feeds or kill people. So, but it's sort of, so it's saying that he is now able to act out his original intentions, but it is made to look as monstrous as Lestat, right? With the tied up fox and things. And importantly for the show, and this might be a good place to wrap it up, as monstrous as Daniel eating the steaks and things, which it is explicitly intercut with.
I'm going to ruin that wrap up and offer one other interpretation. unless you want to clip that in after what I just say.
Uh-huh.
Unless it is Armand's influence, because again, if my reading of Louis being a prisoner in this house, he's not allowed to leave the house, also then creates an understanding of why he's always being brought food at a dinner table. He's always been served food. He never gets food for himself. Again, because it's Armand, sourcing all of Louis's food for him, again, controlling him via dietary means, just as, a testament to Armand's complete and total control of Louis as a person. Can't feed himself, doesn't get to decide what he eats. You get what you're given. And that's why the fox is tied up, because it's perhaps Armand's interpretation of Louis's diet, and Armand's an asshole and a monster, an abuser, and that is why the fox is all like.
Perhaps there's a lot of speculation there that I think we're going to have to wait for our season two to answer. There is a cat chilling at me, but no, not where she is. Oh, hey, little man. It was a Milton coming. They all had a bath last night.
Oh, did they like it?
Oh, they did not.
Yeah.
Gwyn, who is the tiny kitten. Everyone else was cool. I put him in the bath and they sulked, but then they just sit there and I rush him. Gwyn flipped out and clawed her way because she likes when I'm sitting in my chair. She likes snuggling on my shoulder and she just goes.
Aww.
And she just grabbed onto me and climbed up to me and pressed herself into my shoulder and I'm not. So I ended up having to take her out and I could get the shampoo and I rubbed it on her and I poured the water over while she was just walking around the bathroom. And she was fine with that, but she was not going in the tub.
So how small is she?
She's tiny.
So you could probably, I've seen videos of kittens being washed and they're in the bathroom sink, I've seen, and they just hold them by the scruff upside down and dunk them in.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm too nice. The other thing is I'm saying she's not a kitten anymore. I think she's a couple of years old, but she is
small.
She's just a small cat. She is so small.
So again, at Edgar's mission yesterday, there was a few rescue cats and they were all small, adults, but small. And I was looking at these cats and I was like, okay, either my cats are just huge, unusually large, or maybe these cats are small. I couldn't tell. One of my cats is fat. She's 9-10 kilos. She's got an eating problem and I'm very well aware of that. But even Scout, my smaller cat, is just long. They're big cats.
Right. They're all my cats are small.
Mine are huge.
But mine are small.
Yeah. There was a point there where we thought Lily was part Maine Coon because she's so big. But it could just be she's just fat.
I did get worried that Shelley was pregnant once, even though she's been to sex. But I'm like, you can't. You've got she's just a fatty. She just doesn't move a lot.
That's Lily. Does not move.
Yeah. But that is to say, I'm happy that we're still friends, because there was a lot of resentment floating around last night. Just people staring at me, why would you? Because you guys kept scratching, and I thought you might have fleas. Okay, I don't think they do. I washed them all. I didn't see a single flea. I'm like, cool. Did this for nothing. But
I've got to watch the Bachelorette finale on Saturday, and
no,
then
you
I'll.
Don't.
Huh?
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. Shit goes south. I'm so excited.
Have we talked about Fuckboy Island?
Fuckboy
I haven't had the FBI Island conversation with you.
Island? No.
So FBI Island is like, and it's called Fuckboy Island, but they're not allowed to swear, so it's just called FBI Island. Like the entire premise is everyone's a fuckboy, but they can't say it. This is like a semi-serious Bachelor parody show. Like it's a real show, but it's like fully tongue-in-cheek ridiculousness. That is like the premise is, so there's three girls and they're on the island with all the hot dudes, and but the twist is half the dudes are self-proclaimed nice guys. And half of them are self-proclaimed F-boys.
Oh, so you gotta like see which is which.
Well, they set it up like that, but then they straight up tell you who is a fuckboy and who is a nice guy. Like just when they do their talking heads, it comes up, it's like, oh, here's Evan, he's a nice guy. So there's no mystery to the viewer. And then halfway through the season, they just reveal it. So that part of the premise isn't really there. Have you frozen or are you being very still again?
I haven't
You are
frozen.
so still.
You mean I'm so still?
You do all the time, yeah, like super still. The premise isn't really there,
That's really disappointing.
but it is very good, or at least there are two seasons. The first season is one of the best things I've ever seen. It's phenomenal. The second season is an absolute mess, a morally dubious mess, I think. But the first season is fucking brilliant, and I cannot recommend watching at least the first episode of FBI Island season one. You could throw it on Post Bachelor if you're feeling it. You do
Oh
have to
my God,
download
this
it. I don't
sounds
think it
so
streams
good.
anywhere in Australia, but like it's like taking the piss. I won't tell you what happens at the end of the first episode, but just like the tone is set, and then you can work it out. But yeah, it's I've watched the first episode of season one multiple times, and it's just gold. It's just absolute gold.
Jesus. You can already tell which one's a fuckboy from the
Oh, can you
photo.
though?
Yeah.
There's some.
Andrew, total fuckboy.
Which one's Andrew?
He's a firefighter, EMT, and ocean rescue lifeguard.
Yeah, Andrew. I don't think Andrew hangs around too much. Oh no, is Andrew the guy? Is he the guy that is he the is the he's the fridge boy?
Fridge boy.
I will tell you about Andrew in a second. If he's oh no, it's not. He's not the one I thought. I don't remember Andrew. I don't think Andrew makes much of an impact.
These boys are all so unattractive.
Look, there is one type of guy on FY Island. You don't get a variety. There is one style of dude on FY Island. No, so there's a guy. It's not Andrew, but there's a dude on the first season. He's got like dreads and he's like the surfer dude here. I can see him in a picture. It's not worth showing
Is
you,
it
but he's like,
Paul?
yeah, Paul. I think that's him. Oh
Paul's
no,
the
Paul's.
only attractive
Is
one.
Paul though? Like Paul's the huge one in the second season. This is the first season. Paul.
I don't know. Oh, what season am I looking
Hang on. If I just share, we're going to talk about vampires for 4 hours. Don't worry about it. This dude
at?
here.
Which one?
This one.
Oh, I've got our faces over him. Yeah, that's Paul.
All right, that's Paul. So he's in the first season.
Oh, he's short.
Right. He comes in, he does a backflip. He's like a super chill, like stoner surfer bro. That's Paul. Anyway, he's like chatting up one of the girls in like I think this is in the first episode. It's in like episode one or two, but he's like chatting up one of the girls and he's like, hey, so I just want to be up front and let you know that I am an F boy. And there's like record scratch, like, oh, she's like, oh my God, why would you tell me that? What's it? And he's like, yeah, fridge boy. I move fridges for a living. I'm a fridge removalist. I'm a fridge boy.
I thought he was a surf instructor and yogi and a model,
Well,
according to
apparently he's
his
a fridge
bio.
boy. Maybe post show he got into yogi stuff. But he on the thing, he's like, yeah, I'm a fridge boy. And then that got stuck in my head for like months to the point where I wrote and recorded, though I think I've deleted it since. I tried to do a song parody of you. Do you know the song Starboy by The Weeknd? It
Yes,
was like that.
I'm afraid you
But I'm a motherfucking fridge boy. Because when I was doing the post stuff, I'd just be driving around in the van. That would just come into my head. I'd be cruising around like, yeah, I'm a motherfucking fridge boy. So that song has lyrics, and I did try and record it. Turns out, t singing like The Weeknd, really hard.
Oh
Like,
yeah.
yeah, like I'm not, my voice doesn't do that.
No, I used to really like The Weeknd, and
Yeah.
then just all his lyrics about raping women and fucking them straight. And I was like, oh.
It was the fucking straight thing. Yeah, no, it, a lot of his like lyrics about how he feels really bad and he wished he'd treat women better, I feel like could be solved if he just treated women better.
I know, but Drake does the same thing. All these sad
But
boy
Drake
songs
fucking
are talking. I
sucks.
love Drake, but he's got some real hang-ups when it comes to women.
That
Like,
one's
he's just a
pedo.
narcissist, and his lyrics just, oh, really bothers me.
Yeah. So anyway, that's FBoy Island. Hard recommend on the first season. Not so much on the second one.
Love it. I'm
Yeah.
also looking forward. I think there's a new season of Too Hot to Handle. I'm excited for
Which
that.
one's too hot to handle? Oh, I think I watched. Is that the one where they're
They're
not
all
allowed to kiss?
horny, but they're not allowed to, yeah, they're not
Right.
allowed to root or
I
anything.
haven't given you my tight five on Too Hot to Handle.
It's so good.
Well, here's the thing with Too Hot to Handle, right?
What?
The actual game doesn't make any sense, right? You're not allowed to like kiss them or do whatever because you
Yeah.
lose money.
Yeah.
But the money that they win is divided equally among them. So the most you can win, it was like
Not stuff.
$100,000. It
Not
wasn't
in
less
later
than that.
seasons. They have a winner each time and they get the money.
Oh, well, in the first season, it was divided between them.
Was it?
Yeah, because this is where the maths doesn't add up, right? Because it was $100,000 that would be split between like 10 people. So the most you can win is 10 grand.
Yeah.
So 10 grand, that's a lot of money. That could buy you, say, a holiday on an island where you have sex with lots of hot people. So you may as well just do it. Like you can't win. The thing you're trying not to do is the reward. You may as well just like,
Yeah.
it's not worth 10 grand not to have all the sex with the hot
Yeah.
people.
Well, then
And
the other thing, and later seasons have done this a bit more, it becomes like a real, the premise becomes, which I think is problematic.
yeah.
It's all about, you're all fucking like rabbits because you've got some deep-seated trauma that you haven't dealt with, and we're going to teach you how to,
There is some, you know, there's some
to
preaching in
fix
FBoy
that. And I'm like,
Island.
yeah, sure, maybe, but they're also probably here just to launch their social media career and fuck some more. So
Yeah, right.
it's waste time and energy.
So my second problem with Too Hot to Handle is from a viewer perspective, wouldn't it be way more fun to watch if all the hot people were fucking? Like I got a pitch. You come in. I've got this show. We put all these hot people on an island. They're not allowed to fuck. And then I'm the executive going, "Hear me out here. What if we let them fuck?" I feel like more people might watch that show.
I always think about like I just don't think I could have sex on national TV. I just don't understand what goes through these people's minds when they think like
I could definitely have sex on national
I couldn't.
TV.
It's just like I don't know. It's kind of creepy.
Plus, they always cut away anyway, so you know, whatever. But
I know, but sometimes they leave like the mic noise or something. You're like, oh, for the
yeah.
love
So this will be
of
a
God.
bonus Patreon only episode. I'll cut this out. This is the FBoy Island Too Hot to Handle. So I am annoyed because I've been listening to there's a Stephen King podcast, Just King Things, that I got into when I was doing the Stephen
Just
King stuff.
king
Just King Things,
things.
which is run by those like the Range Touch Network, is like some dudes that do like video game stuff. I sort of know who they are. But they also have another a show called Homestuck Made This World. Do you know what Homestuck is?
No.
So Homestuck is a web comic that came out in like the early 2000s or something. I'd never heard of it before until they started doing this. It's insane. And there's all like this meta shit and like, because it was like the audience interacting. So one of the guys, these are like two academics, they teach at universities in the US. One of them is writing a book about Homestuck. So they're doing like a show as they go through it because one of the guys has never read it. Anyway, I tried to do a bit of Homestuck. It goes off the rails hard and it's so long. It's like tens of thousands of pages long. And it goes over 10 years or something. It makes no sense. It's wild. But I have just, because I enjoy hearing these guys talk about shit, I've been listening along with that. And I'm very upset that one of the guys, because they're talking about like their theory with Homestuck is like it's representative of like reader watcher interactions, like how that flips and like fan culture. It's all to do with that. And like they compare it to like Lost and things. But one of them is like, the point is they have decided that the end point of this like postmodern reality TV viewer things switch around is FBoy Island. One of the guys has been given FBoy Island recaps at the start of the episode. I'm like, no, I want to be the FBoy
Oh
Island guy who does literary analysis at FBoy Island. Fuck you.
damn.
But then he was also mentioning animals on one of the last episodes. I'm like, I should email him and be like, do you want to do an animals podcast and
Do
talk about
it.
FBoy Island?
Do it.
I do need to do that. Okay, back to vampires. Why did we
Yeah.
why would we talk about FBoy Island? Because you
I
said you had to watch The Bachelor, What We
think
Do in the
so.
Shadows. Okay. We talk a lot of bullshit.
We
I
do
don't know.
talk a lot of bullshit. Speaking of,
Yeah.
FBoy Island got cancelled.
Oh, good.
And now there's an Australian version with Abby Chatfield as the host,
Oh, there's
too.
an actual Australian one?
Yeah, so it's Australian and New Zealand, FBoy Island.
I thought it was just the New Zealand one that came out.
Oh, maybe it's just no, it's an Australia one then. Yeah, no, because the issue was the New Zealand one, they had someone with domestic violence charges on the show. So Abby Chatfield Hatfield, who you might not know.
I don't know. I'm looking
Yeah,
up
so
now.
she came second on one of the Bachelor seasons
Right.
and has made a huge fortune and name for herself in terms of sex positivity, released a like best-selling, supposedly groundbreaking vibrator with, I think it was a Vush, and this is not a ad for Vush. I'm not being sponsored, nor have I tried this one. But yeah, like she's made so much money with this vibrator. And then what did she do? I think she then started a podcast, as all Bachelor Nation seems to do. And now she hosts a radio show on
Right.
like Kiss FM or The Fox, one of the two. And yeah, now she's hosting FBoy Island.
Yes, I'm seeing there is indeed FBoy Island Australia coming next
Yeah.
year.
And I was like, I have to tell Josh because
I
he
don't know
will.
anything about this person.
No, we could recap FBoy Island
Look,
2023.
we
I'm
could.
down for
I don't know. I think I'm did we
that.
when we discussed, had season two happened yet?
Of FBoy Island.
Yeah.
No idea. I've never watched
Because
the show.
yeah, but was I tell? Because I fully on board with season one. Season one is one of the greatest pieces of television ever made.
Is season two where they just say straight up, I'm an FBoy? Or is that
They
all
do
of
that
them?
in all of them.
Oh, okay.
It's sort of like that halfway through they reveal what everyone is, and it's like, oh, but that's sort of now the game's not there. But the second one is was not as good. It was a big mess, just like to watch. It didn't make any sense, and but also morally dubious.
Yeah.
And this is before we get to the, I mean, someone on that season had domestic violence charges against them as well, or whatever, although he got flicked pretty early. Although he was funny. I mean, of course they do. They're fucking F-boys, right? But like the first season was all like, these guys are bad and they're dickheads and we're like punishing them, right? And sure, they were like playing them up and feeding into them as well.
Yeah.
But overall, it was sort of like making fun of the whole thing. The second season is weird, because there's the guy who's just the worst in the first season.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name now, but he's awful, and he like openly talks about like manipulating women and all this shit, and how he's manipulating the girl on the show who like says she's in love with him and all this crap. And he gets to the end. Garrett's his name. He gets to the end, and he wins. The girl picks him rather than taking the money, which, you know, she would have been told to do by producers so they could have the ending. Because conveniently, the end of the first season, that the three there were three options and three things, and they all picked one of the options. Right? One ended up with the good guy. One had a reformed dude, and one picked the F boy. Anyway, she picks him, and he says, "Nah, fuck you. I'm taking the money. Like, I'm full of shit. I'm an F boy. See ya."
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Just dribbled with excitement.
Yeah, but
Leave that
then,
in the cut, please.
well, but then the twist on that is that the host steps in and goes, "No, you're a horrible person, and you can have the money, but it's not going to you. It's going to a charity of the girl's choice." And she chooses like
Oh, that's
a,
even
it might have
better.
even been like a domestic violence charity or something, right?
Oh, elite.
So, you know, even though, and then he's still there going, "Look, I don't really care. I'm already loaded. The money didn't mean anything. I'm on the show to like, you know, have fun and be this famous guy, and like,
Oh,
I
yeah, to
proved
get
that."
a public profile.
And to prove that, like, he's like, "I won. I am the ultimate F boy," right? So
Oh.
he's awful, right? But he's the villain, but also like he's not actually punished, right? But the framing of the show is saying he's a bad person. In the second season, he's now brought on as like,
But
it's sort of it.
surely viewers of the like people, the women would know he's a fuckboy because you would have seen the first season.
Yeah, and this is what I say when the second season is a mess, is that it's like sort of hinted that he's like there, he's still on the island or something, because I tell you, they go to Limbo when
What's limbo?
Limbo
Is that like a place or like as in limbo is
yeah
in limbo land?
well they go to Limbo, which is
Oh,
so when
limbro. Right.
when good guys get eliminated, they go to the good guy grotto, which is like this massive like mansion on the beach, and then there's like slow motion montages of them all like making smoothies and massaging each other and shit, and it's hilarious. And but then the F boys, when they get eliminated, they go to like a little shitty survivor like compound on the beach that's called Limbo, where they have to think about what they've done.
This show is good.
Yeah, right. The first season is, because it's doing all this shit, right? So then, and there's all like comedy things where the host like goes in and you know does reform activities with them.
Oh, God.
And it's all played for laughs. Like again, they are just like playing up these guys as cool, funny dudes rather than actually punishing them. But The second season, so the first fuckboy gets eliminated. He goes to Limbo, and there opens the door. And Garrett's in there, and he's all disheveled and shit, and he's like curled up in the corner. So the premise is that like he's been there since the first season, thinking about what he's done, right? And he's
Please.
But then he's going to be like some kind of like F-boy coach dude or something. And you're like, oh, okay, where's this going to go? But then just the next episode opens and there's like a thing at the start where the host like encounters him on the island and they're like, oh, and then they're like eyeing each other off. And then they're like, oh, come here. And they give each other hugs. And they're like, yeah, it's been so long. And like, so there's no like repercussions or anything. And then there's like one scene where he runs into the mansion and he accuses everybody of being F-boys because they brought back another guy who's his friend or whatever. And he's like, this guy's for real. And then he just leaves. And that's it. That's his entire involvement in the show. Like, even though, like, I'm not on board with, like, this guy fucking sucks. But, like, you set it up that he was going to be some kind of, like, guy on the show. And then that was it. And then they just go off in other directions. So the second season makes no sense. But then, okay, what else happened? Oh, they get to the end. And there's another horrible guy who is, like, the Garrett. And then he ends up at the end being like, no, actually, I do like this girl. And I'm going to stay with her. And I'm reformed. It's like, you've been saying horrible crap all season. But they get to the end. Twist is, one of the girls
is a fuck girl.
Yeah. Right, but it's not good. It's like so obvious from the start. Like, I mean, you watch the first episode, it's like, she's a fuck girl. And she says constantly throughout the season, she's like, I am a fuck girl. She's like, I was a fuck girl all along. And then they play the montage of her saying I was a fuck girl. It's like, yeah, we
no
know.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
but then
God.
Also, like, her reward is she gets to take all the money. And so she does that. And all the girls get the option to do that, which why wouldn't you do that anyway? You just take all the money and then you hook up with them after the show if you actually like them, whatever. But
capitalism at its finest.
So she takes all the money, but she is not like villainized. She is like celebrated, and it's like this big like girl power, and they all high five. They're like, yeah, you go girl. Meanwhile, the guy who's like the nice guy of the whole season, who like everyone thinks is awesome and seems like genuinely a really cool dude, is like bully, like breaking down in tears. And he's like, but what, there's like, yeah, the two nice guys who are vying for attention, and they're like, yeah, fuck you guys, get fucked, she's an F girl. And they're like, but that's, if we did that, that would be bad.
Yeah.
And it just sort of ends on that. And I'm like, I don't know if the show knows what it's about anymore. So I didn't particularly appreciate that. And then I didn't watch the New Zealand one because also I can't find it. But then all the shit came out about the domestic abuse crap. And I'm like, yeah. After the way the second season went, I don't know. Having said that, I'm definitely going to watch the Australian one, right?
Oh, yeah. They need to get better vetting systems. Like in the most recent Farmer Wants a Wife, one of them has shocking domestic violence currently going through the courts, stalking, beating, intimidation of the family. And it's like, fuck, who is vetting the people in these series? Or are they thinking like, this makes for great television, so let's keep it in?
Well, okay, back to season two of FBoy Island. First episode, first guy that gets sent home is this dude who, like, the whole first episode, he's going around, he's like, he's telling everyone, he's like, I'm a concert pianist. And I'm a virgin, right?
Oh,
I've been homeschooled and sheltered, and I'm here. And he's like this really awkward like guy, and he's just, and then so it's like, oh, the twist, what if we had a virgin on the island? And then
how is that a twist though? Like, who gives a
well
shit?
If on an island of fuckboys.
All right, that makes
sense. So anyway, the lady,
you could
gets
still
ridden.
Be a fuckboy without having sex. Like, you could still be a chronic ghoster, you could be
there.
A narcissist. You could be,
I'm getting there, hang on.
Okay,
so
you're getting there.
The lady sends him home at the end of the first episode and goes, yeah, you're just really awkward, and like, it doesn't seem like you're, you know, ready to be here. And if you are gonna, you know, not be a virgin anymore, maybe don't do that on reality TV. And then he goes, well, actually, it's a complete lie. I'm like this rich playboy, and I have a harem of women back that I'm playing off everyone, and see ya, and like walks out, and is like, and you're like, well, that is messed up. But then he gets brought back in the reunion episode as like this joke guy, and everyone's like, well, you had everyone fooled, man, that was crazy. He's like, I know, isn't it wild? And then he's like, actually, I'm bisexual. And he like proposes to one of the F-boys to join his harem rather than the girls and stuff, and everyone's like, haha, that's so funny. And it's like, no, this guy is like evil, actually. Like, he's literally talking about how he collects women for his harem. And
yeah, but it could also just be like I might be getting the wrong word here, like a polygamist group.
Okay.
So maybe
also the domestic violence man was forced to hit his wife because she deserved it. Like, let's not make excuses for these people.
Yeah, but I think in terms of the hiring, like the women would have a choice to join it or not, unless it's if it's
He
illegal,
lied
he
to her the
wouldn't
whole
be.
way to manipulate him into the thing. It had big R. Kelly vibes, and I was not into it. And I was not into the way they were like joking about it. If like he said all of that, and then even the F boys were like, "Dude, that's fucked."
But at the same time, like, if they're into polygamy and that's what is
Okay,
happening, then.
if that's what polygamy is, I'm not into it. And I think people who are into polygamy, who I don't mean to speak for them, but I'm about to, probably wouldn't be into that either.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of gaslighting.
Yes.
It's funny, what I find really problematic about the virgin aspect without him lying about it is how it gets, like there's always kind of one virgin in all these series, and it
Is
becomes
there?
such an, yeah, there's, so they
Okay.
had
I don't watch any of the
Colton.
other ones.
Yeah, so I'm a big Bachelor fan. And Colton in the American season came, I think he came fourth on the season that he participated in. And he was a virgin, and it was such like this issue for the whole series. And then he like finally told her. And of course, I reckon that the producers have had a hand in, setting it up and crafting the story. So it's, he's the virgin and that's his entire personality. But yeah, and then he became the bachelor, and all of the promotions were, puns on sex and the fact that he's a virgin. And again, they like sold him as the virgin bachelor. Turns out he's actually gay. And so he ended up, I think, engaged to his final contestant. Their relationship broke up. He then also engaged and some pretty hectic stalking of her and her family, and it was all this whole thing. And now he's come out, but I don't know, I just find it so like, who gives a shit if they're a virgin? Just like, it's not an issue.
I tell you, one of my friends or a guy I went to high school with 20 years ago was on the Married at First Sight show.
No,
I didn't tell you that.
one of the girls I went to school with was on it last year. And now she's on like Made in Chelsea and creating this whole life around Married at
Reality
First
TV
Sight. And
thing.
it was wild watching her. Like all of my friends, we weren't friends with her at school. Like we were not, it wasn't like we hate you. We were like big school, different groups of people. I don't think I had a single class with her. Wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't remember me, but it was wild watching a show and being like, I know you. Like, this is crazy. I would be terrified to go on reality TV. I would get the villain edit for sure. Or like
Would
it would be a highlight reel of me farting and burping, and she'd be like Australia's grossest woman or female identifying person. Like that would be without a doubt. And feel free to add this into the podcast. But seriously, that would be my edit. It'd be bad. It'd be really bad. And like I'm not a bad person, I don't think. I'd like not to think, but like
know you get to the end, turns out you're an F girl all along.
yeah.
You've got a harem.
No, I think I just they'd get me in clips being like super honest or just saying things, and it would just not look good.
Would you be going around telling everyone that they're two-faced and it's behind their back and they're telling it like it is?
Oh, I don't know, because I'm not a dramatic person. But it would be like me acting like a normal person with everyone, and then me saying shit in the clips, and they'd be like, oh, you're so two-faced. But really, it's just like I'm calling it as it is, just behind closed doors, because I can't be fucked.
Because you're two-faced.
Okay, I'm two-faced. Sure.
Like what you're describing is the
Bye. Sure.
thing.
See, this should be our podcast where we unpack problematic reality TV.
Well, I mean, I could. Do you want to hear about Dragula Titans?
Dracula Titans.
Dragula.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Dragula is the alternative version of RuPaul's Drag Race, where they all dress up as monsters and zombies and things, and it's the best thing. It's so fucking good. It's better than F Boy Island. And at the moment, they're in the middle of like their first All-Stars season, which is called Dragula Titans.
Amazing. Makes sense.
And it's been of a bit of a rough season because the whole rather than in the early seasons, it was all filmed in a basement. It was cool, and they didn't have really any of the drama. You just saw them like making their costumes and doing it. It was all about the actual thing. And then as it's gone on, it's got more and more reality sort of scripted drama bullshit. And this season has been full of that because there's all these like staged fights about like three of the contestants are in like this love triangle, and everyone else hates them, and someone's husband left them, and it's just all this drama that's just whatever. And then the last episode, there's like one of the people gave them like this big thing and yelled at them all and cussed them out for being two-faced and told them all to get fucked and how they were horrible and all this. But then they're also like they're like the fan favorite. But also they're horrible. Like I think they're not a good person, and there was some very gaslighty, like emotionally abusive shit they were saying the whole time about how,
Jesus.
"I'm sorry I had to yell at you like this, but you guys made me, and if I didn't do that, you wouldn't." And I was like, "Oh, I don't care for any of this at all." And also the winner of the previous season, who was a judge on this one, is one half of a band who the main guy was like a massive pedophile. And he claims that he was like, also being abused and manipulated, but also was in this band for years and definitely helped facilitate pedophilia. So,
Oh my God.
Mm.
I don't understand how, like, how is that not a lawsuit waiting to happen for the contestants in terms of like negligence or duty of care that the producers have,
What do you mean?
totally failed to uphold or.
Well, that wasn't on the show, and that's like he has
Oh.
left the band years ago, and again.
But even like the gaslighting in the series, it just,
Well,
I don't
people
know.
are loving it. People are eating it up.
Isn't that crazy that we watch this shit and we love it? Like, what does that say about us?
When I say I love it, I'm not really feeling this season because of all the drama. Like I very much appreciated back when it was more about them doing the things, because it was very interesting and cool. And they had weird drama on the early seasons as well, but it felt a lot more like organic, whereas this is some real staged reality TV fluff.
You can always tell when it's staged, like all the Married at First Sight stuff is so staged. Like, why would you go on, I don't
So, speaking of abusive relationships, do you want to talk about the Interview with the Vampire series?
know. Yes.
I mean, do you want to talk about FYI Island?
We can if you want to.
I think the Australian series is fucking trash.
It's just like everything's a 5-minute setup shot of the island and of them like doing dumb fuckboy things. And then
It's
you don't
just
even
The
see the whole
Bachelor.
challenges. Oh.
But yeah, there's no twist to it. I mean, I don't like it. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah.
I don't think it has the. I didn't like the American second series, but the first series is brilliant. And then this is just now it's just The Bachelor, but with buff people. Who, I mean, I find the Australian one very uncomfortable to watch.
Oh, it's Abby Chatfield sucks
Yeah,
in
she's
it.
awful.
She's
She
like
has
really
no
mean.
personality.
Are they meant to be mean?
Yeah, they're meant to be mean, but she doesn't have like a joke to it. She just says things. I think she has like hot person syndrome, where it's like people giggle if I say something slightly thing, so I don't
Yeah,
have
because
to
I'm hot.
try. She's not even that hot.
I think she's pretty hot.
She has like no, like she's just a shape to me. There's like no essence to her. She is not that. But it's all the people, because they're all Australian except for all the American ones on there, who are the only ones who have any personality. But they're all like the weird bogans that I would meet. And that is like, I find it weird because I'm watching it going, this feels like if I was at a party I did not want to be at. And
There's something in that, and I don't know. Again, I think it's material conditions. So in the US, like to be able to leave your job to go on a dumb show like this, you have to be like you're not the professional class, I would argue. Like you're, unless you're maybe like a, I don't know, would you call plumbers and stuff professional class? Or no, they're trades, right?
Working class sort of
So
thing.
it's full of, and I'm not trying to sound like a snob, but it's like it's particularly clear in Australia. Like it's just bogan,
I think it's
probably.
also like in the American one, they're all the influencers and things, but it just
I
means
know,
that,
like they're
like,
richer in America and
but
like so
it's,
they're better people.
I don't know about that, but it means that the thing, they know how to act and talk in front of a camera. Like they are playing characters, right?
Australians don't know how
So
to
it's
do that.
like, oh, I'm watching a show with people performing, whereas the Australian ones, they're all just like, yeah, I don't know, they suck. And I hate the fashion. I don't know what's going on with, and I'm an old man now. But why, like, they're meant to be the young fuckboys. I'm like, they're all wearing like grandpa chic. What is going on? What's with this? The guy comes in with the mullet and that weird mo, and they're like, oh my God, he's so hot. I'm like, are you?
Vernon.
Yeah. What is up with
Jesus.
Vernon?
My favorite thing was when like those two really ugly boys got eliminated and they were both like, yeah, we're fuck boys. And one of them was crying and they're like, dude, like how are you a fuck boy? You're
Oh, I
like, you've
don't
got a shit
remember.
dress, you're ugly. Like, who are you fuckboying, please? They're all like super aggro and like fighting each
Oh,
other. I've
that's the
stopped
other thing.
watching now. I'm like, you're all
They
disgusting
are
people.
all wasted. And not just like everyone on reality TV is drunk, because that's what they do. They like feed them drink. But you can see in this one, everyone's face is like bright red and they can't talk. Like the guy, I hated the show. I'm like, I'm not going to watch it. And then I was bored on Tuesday, so I watched the next two episodes. But the guy who gets the one who's chatting up the bar staff, you watch him when he's standing there like to be eliminated. He
Oh, he's
can
already been
barely
eliminated.
stand. He is like
I
rocking back and forth and his eyes are crossed and his face is bright red. And I'm like, this is not okay.
know. No, that guy was fucked up.
Yeah, so that is the Fuckboy Island report. The first season will forever have a place in my heart.
I know.
But this
Just
one, no one got up and read a poem in a desperate attempt to save themselves and then said they were a nice guy.
people do that? Wow.
That's in the first episode of the American one.
I haven't seen it, and I'm not
Oh,
going to be
oh,
honest.
oh, oh, it's so different and
Love
so real.
Island is back, baby, so we're on the Love Island train.
That's all I'm saying. Oh, what, the first episode of the American Fuckboy Island is an absolute masterpiece. And yeah, a guy tries to save himself by he gets eliminated. He's like, I wrote you a poem. He reads this poem out and it's so bad. And
So
everyone
bad.
laughs at him. And then he says, I'm a nice guy.
Oh, bless. I love it when they say that. I'm actually a nice guy. It's like, oh, they're all ugly. It's
Right?
not about anyone that's on the show.
It's yeah, that's all. I was like, oh, no, yeah, it was bad. It was bad. I thought you were going to say you loved it,
No.
but there we go. We agree on something. Australian
Yeah.
FBI Island
It
sucks.
sucks. It sucks. It's so, like, the girls suck. They're all idiots. They have a collective IQ of 10. I'm not
That
into
blonde
it.
lady,
I
she's someone who
know.
I could not stand. Like, she's another person where I watch this. I'm like, I've met people like you, and I do not want to
Yeah.
be around them.
No, I couldn't agree more.